regardless of how tasteful or tasteless it may be, there is something eye-catching about an inflatable yard decoration. I didn't keep track, but I would guess that in the weeks leading up to Christmas as I was driving around, I probably turned my head about 90% of the time if I sensed there was such a decoration on display somewhere, the variations of which, of course, were many. For those who may be listening to this online, I have on display an inflated farm animal wearing a Santa hat. Go figure that this particular item would still be on sale after Christmas in the Menards clearance rack. As eye-catching as an inflated yard ornament might be before Christmas, I also found something after Christmas to be rather eye-catching. For after Christmas, I saw such inflatables completely deflated and collapsed on the lawn, as is now happening to the item on display here. A sight which I thought illustrated and underscored a biblical principle, namely, that apart from the Word of God, absolutely everything in this world is only temporary and can generate only a cheer and a joy that is fleeting and feeble at best. There's nothing inherently improper about the use of nonsensical decorations at festival time. There's nothing improper about making use of all sorts of types of things that can generate some biblically accepted cheer. From making a new discovery, to playing a favorite game, to hearing a funny line, to reaching a certain goal, there are many things that can produce a certain amount of pleasure and happiness and joy. But when the world and the various things of this world start to be viewed as those items which can provide a sustained, ongoing joy and sense of true happiness, then we've lost sight of that principle articulated so well by someone like the Apostle Peter in his first epistle. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. In this section of his letter, Paul is speaking about contemporary flowers and plants, of the things of the world as we know them today. But there was that period of time when the flowers and the plants of the world did not fall away. There was that brief period of time at the beginning of the world when things were perfect and righteous. At that time, Adam and Eve could expect to derive ongoing joy and pleasure from the various things that surrounded them. But the devil successfully pulled the plug on all of that. With the entrance of sin came the big disconnect from the righteousness of God. And when that connection was broken, every single item in the world became temporary, subject to drooping, destined to decay, which means that every type of joy and happiness that we base on worldly things is likewise temporary, subject to drooping, destined to decay. In this section of 1 Peter, he is primarily focusing on the human condition. He emphasizes the fact here that since the fall, every single human being is no stronger than a simple blade of grass, which is very feeble and fleeting. A point observed by the psalmist who said, "They're like sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers." Even with the many advancements in modern medicine, no one can stop the deterioration of the body, nor halt the inevitability of death. And as man goes, so goes man's glory. No matter how many golden rings an athlete might get, no matter how many golden globes an actress might receive, no matter how many golden crowns a king might acquire, the joy that is experienced at such acquisitions instantly starts to deflate and diffuse and die away. Do you suppose there's any person in the categories just mentioned that is currently feeling the same level of joy that was experienced when that achievement was first realized? Can you think of anything of your own? any material item which is able to provide an ongoing level of joy of the same height that you experienced when it first made you happy. In his letter to Corinthians, first letter, Paul stated, "The form of this world is passing away." And in John 1, he wrote, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. The world is passing away." The world does not accept this, of course. It is continually trying to pump up the idea that the more things you get and the more possessions that you have, the better off you're going to be and the happier you're going to remain. You know the old bumper sticker, "Whoever dies with the most toys wins," that whole philosophy. The world inflates the value and benefit of worldly goods and acclaim, but it can only do so for so long. And when its hot air again gives out, a person can only be left deflated. Fortunately, we've been given that which never deflates, never diminishes, never dies out, and never loses its ability to gladden, the gospel of our God. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Grass withers. The flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Recognizing the transitory nature of all things in the world and the inability of anything in the world to give lasting joy, the Lord has given us his holy word. The word which is truly inflating, inspiring, and life-giving. It is through the scriptures that the Holy Spirit, which actually can also be translated the Holy Wind, lifts us up, raises us up, fills us up with the only thing that can give us lasting joy, the gift of everlasting life. Through his word, the Spirit of God, the wind of God, reveals how the Son of God became a human being to live the life we were unable to live, to pay the debt we were unable to pay. The scriptures reveal that eternal life is now God's free gift, granted to all who put their trust in Jesus. They reveal that the difficulties, hardships, challenges of this world will soon be swept away and replaced with a dwelling place of perfect peace. And since scripture can never be broken, never be lessened, never be deflated, it remains the constant power source of joy. Now it's true that we Christians at times can also feel deflated, especially after a holiday, after a break, we too can feel like we're in a slump, but we don't have to. The Lord has graciously placed his word in our homes, our schools, our hands, where it stands ready to do the many things it alone can do, which includes filling us up with a sustained joy. Consider the Christmas just passed. All the people who fill their festivities with the frivolities and the frivolous things of this world have absolutely nothing to help them through as we push on ahead. But the gospel of the Savior's birth, which we were privileged to hear, supports ongoing hope and is therefore able to yield ongoing joy. Gatherings, festivities come and go. Accomplishments, achievements have their ups and downs. But the word of the Lord abides forever. How blessed we are to have access to that which never dies, diminishes, or deflates. It is the gospel of our God, which endures, inspires, and inflates with joy. A hymn which makes reference to the connection between God's word and joy is 285, hymn 285, stanzas 1 and 5.